Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Tola Talks with Rich Tola, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, it's Rich Tola, and thanks for tuning in to my East Coast Talk for a 21st Century World. Now we got another great show for you planned today. Wait till you check out our guest in the studio, Thomas Artavani. You're gonna love meeting him. 30-year actor, writer, director. He's got the Artavani approach. We're gonna talk about that. One of my loves, movies, films, acting, and all that. So good. We're gonna first thank Yasmin from yesterday. That was a pretty cool show, right? I really enjoyed that. We're bringing to you a variety type show, so we are gonna mix it up from time to time. My sister producer, she was in here, so we had a lot of fun going over some stuff, especially Movie Mondays, right? We took a look at The Identical. Go check it out in the archives, latalkradio.com/tola.php. Yeah, and then today's Top 10 Tuesday. So you know what we do on Tuesdays, and I'm bringing to you the 10 best U.S. cities to live in. So we're going to take a look at those. But first, let me give a congrats to Leonardo, one of my favorite actors of all times, Leonardo DiCaprio. He was tapped by the United Nations to be honored with the title of Messenger of Peace. I mean, what a great honor. I mean, they did give this out to distinguished individuals that help focus the world on what the UN is working on. And he's going to be speaking on 9/23, September 23rd at the UN summit, where they're going to address the topic of climate control, because Leonardo, there's no doubt. I mean, he's done a lot to impact society. And he says, quote, "It's the most important issue we face as a global community. And I feel a moral obligation to speak out." So there you go. Leonardo speaking out. Thank you so much for that. That's going to be awesome. Check it out. He's going to be speaking on the 23rd. So let's go right into, right today, we're going to move right into around the globe for the latest news that's strange but true. Okay, right away, we're going to start in Warsaw, Poland. Anybody hear about this, about the jumping priests? This is pretty cool. A quartet of daredevils who recently disguised themselves as priests, they did that to sneak up top of Poland's tallest building. It's called the Palace of Culture and Science in Warsaw. Okay, this is a 30th floor where they went to. I think the building's a little taller, but there's a public terrace on the 30th floor. They're an extreme sports team. Check it out, folks. It's called No Limit. All right, so they sneak past security with their parachutes all concealed, disguised. It's between their legs, actually. When they finally got out there, the onlookers were shocked because they're climbing over these fences. You got to see it. There's videos out there. And they took a dive with parachutes. It was pretty cool. They all had cameras. So, you know, filming all this stuff, it was kind of neat. So go check it out. Strange but true, the jumping priests. And speaking of jumping, now this is more on the sad side, and this place takes place closer to home in DTLA, we call it, downtown Los Angeles. A man yesterday jumped or leaped to his death from 12 floors atop the Standard Hotel's rooftop lounge. Now, more sad news about someone committing suicide. They say there's no criminal investigation because they believe it was suicide. Okay, here's a guy who goes to a beautiful hotel. It's a cool party vibe up there. Been there, Standard's beautiful hotel. And on the rooftop, crowded pool, the man jumps and he lands on the 500 block of South Flower Street. Anybody know that? I've walked that street. So not only, you know, he's now putting other people in jeopardy. So I don't know what's happening. You know, there was other news just to add to that. Simone Battle. Did anybody hear about the 25-year-old singer? It's the second coming of the Pussycat Dolls. I mean, you may have heard of this girl, the band GRL, and they found her. She was hanging in West Hollywood. Another suicide. So, folks, I mean, we talked about this in last Friday's show, right? We had the under 21 theme. We talked about suicide, that's not an option. You know, you're here for a reason. Do not do that. It affects many, many people. It's not just about you. So here's the suicide hotline, the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline. If you need to talk, you got to call this number, 800-273-8255. 800-273-TALK. That's 8255. 5-5. You got to do this, people. It's not an option. You can't be doing that. You're affecting many, many people in society by taking your own life. Don't do it. Let's move on here. We're calling this the hairless butcher, because the guy's a butcher, and look what he's doing. This is a kooky story. This takes place in Chesterfield County, Virginia. This guy, Melvin Hunt, And if you take a look at picture of this guy, he looks a little bit deranged. Okay, he's a teacher. They said he's a physical education coordinator. I'm not sure what that means exactly. But here's a guy at a middle school who faces a misdemeanor assault charge for cutting off a woman's hair while the two were embracing. And you're thinking, what the hell? How's this possible? How bizarre is that? Well, Friday afternoon, he was in the parking lot of the middle school. They were platonic friends, as described by the woman, Melvin, over here, Mr. Melvin, who's 61 years old, sitting in his car, right? They're talking about a planned trip that they had together. And he says, quote, the woman did not need to travel with him. Then he asked her for a hug, okay? Then he goes and hugs her and cuts off several inches of her hair. I mean, what the hell is this guy thinking? Talk about getting your shit together. Okay, now the guy has a protective order against him, and, you know, he's cutting off people's hair. Come on, buddy, get your shit together, Melvin. All right, let's move on to Hold the Hamster. This is kind of a freaky story. It takes place over in Australia. An Australian Pizza Hut came under serious criticism for a truly thoughtless promotional campaign that offered free pets to customers making bulk purchases. Did anybody see this? First of all, Pizza Hut did not condone the action, or was it approved? So let's start with that. Pizza Hut Australia, you guys are off the hook. But what are these guys thinking? Okay, this is a suburb southeast of Melbourne. Actually, Yasmin just told me this morning, we're going over the show. It's in Mount Waverly. She said, I went to high school there. I'm like, holy cow, you should see this sign. There's a sign. Buy any 10 large pizzas and get one free small animal from Pet Story. And then it goes on to say, conditions apply, and it's from September 1st till December 31st, 2014. Now, Twitter's blowing up all over the place with not giving away animals like they're toys, but I mean, hey, you know, maybe they were thinking offering these as toppings, you know? Hey, you want some hamster with that extra cheese? Oh, I know, that's a bad one. All right, but anyway, at least the store conceded that it was a, quote, bad idea, thoughtless, and inappropriate. All right, guys, you got to get your shit together. You can't be offering small animals out there to people. First of all, they got to care for these animals. That's another insane story. Moving on to another kind of kooky, insane story, the Boobster. That's what I'm calling this one. Now, I think this takes place in Dallas, and I say I think because the company Oculus Rift is located or based in Dallas. Okay, this is an immersion virtual reality technology, right? Which like the wearable headsets, and they say they're affordable. Well, there's a video on YouTube. I mean, check it out. It's a short one. I think it's 22 seconds. Posted earlier this week. Okay, now this is kind of kooky. A virtual reality headset hooked up to a game, right? Where the sole objective is to squeeze an animated character's breasts. Okay, this is no bullshit. They say the breasts, the boobs, feel real. It's an experience for a real-life set of foam breasts. Okay, well, here's the creepy thing about it. Aside from when you go to the video, the guy just says, titties, titties, titties. I don't know what the hell, who he thinks is watching this. Well, we do know who he thinks is watching this. But it's a little creepy because the character, it's this girl, she winces and, you know, kind of like when you're playing, grabbing her breast, she's kind of shy. It's kind of strange. I mean, why would they make this? It's kind of, I don't know. It's really, really strange to me. I get a little creeped out by it. So I don't know. Talk about get your shit together. The game's called Booby Squeezing Simulator, okay? And obviously, they talk about the who's the target audience, the, quote, unfortunate stereotype of gamers being basement-dwelling males. Okay, basement-dwelling males who are in their teens. This is not something you want to be doing. This is ridiculous, okay? There's nothing, first of all, there's nothing like the real deal. And secondly, this game sounds totally absurd. So stay away from it, or who knows, maybe you've already tried it. But check it out. That's another YouTube video. And speaking of get your shit together, because you know how we like to do this, give out the award on a daily basis. And it's amazing how, well, yesterday and several other days, you know, the theme was boozed out, alcohol, abuse, all that business, where most of these people are passing out because they're drinking too much. Well, today we have a clear-cut winner. This has got nothing to do with alcohol. This was sort of insane. Another one of these kooky stories that you read it and you look at it and you think, wow, that's eerie. A gravedigger in Spain was suspended after a photo of him was passing around. Now check this out, right? Circulating on social media all over the place of him posing with an exhumed body. Okay, the man is known as Clemente. Right? I mean, he's being investigated by the police after a picture of him with his dead nephew who died 23 years ago. So here's a guy standing there. You got to see this photo, right? And the dead man's niece took the photo. I mean, he's standing there. He's kind of holding him up. I mean, what's this guy thinking? That it was maybe it was too hard to take a selfie holding up a corpse. I don't know, but, you know, the municipal rep said it was silliness with no justification whatsoever. Silliness? What are you doing taking a dead body out of the grave there, buddy? Clemente, you got the award for today. The Get Your Shit Together Award goes to our buddy Clemente in Spain for standing there posing with a dead body. There you go, folks. I mean, that's another one of these kooky stories. So where do we go from here? Let's get into Top 10 Tuesday. Now, I did do some research on the internet. This is kind of cool. There's different lists out there. For those of you who traveled around the United States, we're talking United States here today, best U.S. cities to live in. Now, they base this on a few factors because did you know that 1 in 6 Americans move every year? I should know that. I think I moved 19 times when I've counted it. I've moved so many times. I even did a Get Your Shit Together podcast about it, right? How to move in less than a week. You should go check that one out. Number 25. I mean, that's a really good one because I have done it. I've lived in New York City several times, in Brooklyn as well, right? Los Angeles 3 times, Philadelphia, Chicago, Honolulu, San Francisco, not to mention Hong Kong, Singapore, Malaysia. I know how to move. It's real straightforward. It can be stressful, but it doesn't have to be. So we're going to take a look at these top cities. Now, this is based on issues that matter most. Weather, well, clearly important for us on the West Coast. Tax rates, because they're important. Median wages, right? What are people making? Population figures, because you don't want to be in a place that's like overpopulated, right? And real estate prices. So I got this from a website called Money Crashers. There was also many lists out there. Forbes did one. Can you believe in Forbes Top 10, Trenton, New Jersey, where I grew up, was in there. We didn't use Forbes today. I kind of like this one. And interestingly enough, I visited most of these towns. So let's get started with number one. Number one, one of my dear friends, Stephanie and Thomas Artivani, when you meet him, the woman that put us together, introduced us, Stephanie Drapeau, give a shout out to her, lives in the number one city, Austin, Texas. Now, here we go. Austin, Texas, a town of about 700,000 residents, right? Smack dab in the middle of Texas. They call it the live music capital of the world. It has an unemployment rate of 6.3% versus the national average of 8.3%. So it's about 2% less. So employment's good there. Okay. There's no state income taxes. That's kind of interesting. A lot of clean water, a lot of open spaces, 228 sunny days. That's 62% of the year. And it doesn't really go below 40 degrees. So, and by the way, almost 84% of all residents have a high school diploma. So there you go. Austin, Texas, you're number one. Number two, Omaha, Nebraska. Been there. I like Omaha, Nebraska. Nice little town. This is 380,000 people are living in Omaha. There's a 4.7% unemployment rate, so it's really good there. I mean, you want to get a job, go there. The median income is $53,000, so good. And the cost of living, you know, it's 11% less than the national average. 214 sunny days. So you do get some sunny days there. A lot of physicians there, they say, and a lot of clean air. I know it well. There's a park downtown there. I mean, I actually dated a gal from Omaha, Nebraska. Well, I mean, where haven't I dated a gal? But no, I definitely like that town. Great to visit. So check it out. Number two is Omaha, Nebraska. All right, let's go to number three. This is a cool one. Been here too. Boulder, Colorado. Check out Boulder now. You know, it's nestled aside the majestic Rocky Mountains. There's about 100,000 residents. Small town, right? Not a big town. Median income is 65,000. A lot of science, a lot of technology services in this town, no doubt, right? They say, well, I mean, it's 39% higher than the national average. The cost of living is a little pricier, but you are making more money. And they do say, there's a lot of single 30-somethings in this town. And I had a friend of mine, I think she was late 20s. She moved back to Boulder, which is also considered the 7th greenest city in the country. So a lot of greenery there. Looking outside today, it's hot and humid today, folks. We're getting another one of these heat blasts right here in sunny L.A. We'll talk about that more when Thomas gets in the room. He's over there in Venice Beach, so it's quite nice there. Number four, this one, I've never been here. I've used this term many times, talk to yoga teachers in Boise, Idaho. Check it out, 200,000 residents in Boise, median income's 51,000. They get 206 sunny days. pretty good, pretty good percentage, right? The population's boomed. It's gone up 36% since 1990, and it has the, well, check this out. Every year for the past 12 years, crime rate is lowering. I mean, where do you go where crime rate's getting better? No doubt. And it's got a ton of outdoor activities. It's 63.8 square miles. So Boise, Idaho, you like the outdoors? Hey, check it out. I've never been there myself, but I do look forward to going there one day. Number five, a city where I lived, that definitely lived here, and we'll spend some time there again, San Francisco, California. What a city. Now, you're talking 800,000 people live in this city, but there's 7.5 million in the whole Bay Area. Bay Area is huge. So it's relatively crowded. Definitely, you know, it's a city environment, city by the bay. We all know that. Has amazing, great public transportation, right? No doubt. There's the trolley cars as well. I mean, get around, going up California. I mean, I love that city. That's a great city to walk, for sure. It's got the two professional sports teams, right? World-class museums, restaurants, good weather. Interesting about San Francisco weather. You know who all the tourists are by 5 o'clock is they're the ones freezing their butts off or didn't bring a jacket. So if you go to San Francisco, no matter what time of year, bring a jacket because it's beautiful. 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and then by 5, you're freezing your butt off. You got it. So check that one out. The average income, and it is an expensive city, no doubt, but people are making $75,000 a year. By the way, two times as many single residents as there are married. Wonder what that's about. San Francisco, beautiful town. Number six, Charlotte, North Carolina. A buddy of mine lives in Charlotte. 1.6 million people live in Charlotte. Everybody knows Charlotte. Bank of America's based there. Duke Energy's based there. Lowe's, you know, department, they're based there. It went from a sleepy city, we know this, to a strong corporate financial center, right? No doubt. 218 sunny days. Yeah, there's a lot of sunny days there. And it's grown 22% since the early 2000s, right? No doubt. And no question on this one. The folks from Charlotte, they stick to their roots. So my buddy's from that area, and he stayed there. So there you go. Let's go on to number seven. Haven't been here. I look forward to going here. Kansas City, Missouri. There's 450,000 people, residents that live there. And check this out. News to me, Google is installing an ultra-speed internet for the entire city. Yeah, is that reason enough to move there? You got slow internet, move to Kansas City. Average income's $44,000, right? Now, the income tax is only 6%, sales tax 7.73%, lower than most, right? And they say it's young town. Average age is 36. It's also, well, this is interesting. Well, I guess you're talking two more professional sports teams, and it's got the mild weather, right? I mean, hey, you can't beat that. It's got mild weather. It's got teams. It's a young town. Check it out. $44,000 a year. Sounds like a pretty cool place. Never been there. Number eight, Portland, Oregon. Wow, this one here, you got 550,000 residents. Pretty good size, right? It's the, well, it says it's the second best city for food enthusiasts. Wow, you're talking Mecca for fine dining and high-quality life. That's what they're calling it. Why? You got an hour to the beach, an hour to the mountains. Well, I mean, where we're located right here, you could argue, well, as Thomas, how long it took him to get here. I think we're like 40 minutes to the beach, and the mountains are 20 minutes the other way. So I'm liking where we're positioned here in Sherman Oaks, California. But Portland, Oregon, I know it's beautiful there. You know, there's 25 acres of parks for every 1,000 people. So great place to go for outdoors, weather, but the weather, it does get 42 inches of rain every year. I think we get around 14 inches. So you do get a lot of rain there, but again, they do have some great public transportation here. Great things about Portland, Oregon. That's ranked number eight. All right, coming down the home stretch here, 9 and 10. How about this one? Again, another California city. I've spent a lot of time down here, never lived there. San Diego, California. That's ranked number 9. No question about the weather. Now, it does get a little more humid down there. I know this for a fact, than it does here up in L.A. It's got the marina and all. But you're looking at 1.2 million people. Really cool town, right? It's getting a little more pricey now. But you got, again, the best weather in the world. Two professional sports teams, 266 sunny days. I mean, you got amazing views, right? The marina, downtown. I mean, there's some history there, too. I mean, I really like San Diego, and there's some cool beach towns. My buddy lives in Solana Beach. Got a friend there. Give a shout-out to Rob. Yeah, so San Diego, check it out. Number 9 on the list. Oh, the average income is $62,000, so you make a few bucks over there. And number 10, Raleigh, North Carolina, right? We're going back to that research triangle park, you know, Raleigh, Durham, Charlotte. I mean, we're kind of like a cool area there. Jobs, jobs, jobs. I mean, there's no doubt that that's an area where you can find work, especially if you're in that research and development world. $53,000 is the average income. Great universities. I mean, everybody knows North Carolina State, Duke, University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Yeah, that's that whole triangle there. And, you know, in terms of the seasons, you do get this change of seasons. That's what's great about Raleigh. I know that town. You get the change of seasons. There's nothing extreme about it. It's not like the East Coast where I grew up, New York, whatever. So there you have it, folks. Our top 10 for today, right? Best U.S. cities to live in. We're going to move right into, and then we got Thomas Artivani coming in here any minute now. We're going to do a quick little on the health and fitness front. Let's do that, right? Let's do that. And I'm doing child's pose today. Does everybody know what child's pose is? So we got a health and fitness tip of the day, right? What's child's pose? This is a great pose. It's a restorative pose. If you want to learn more about restorative yoga, I did that in my yoga survival guide, lesson number 18. It's called comfort yoga. But you could do this anytime, people. And you don't want to fidget around in this pose. So what you want to do is you want to come into what's called a child's pose. You spread your knees really wide. You sit your butt back. You roll out your torso like your spine, like you're rolling out your mat. So you want to elongate the spine, reaching for, hey, Thomas, how are you? Just walking in the studio, getting him set up. And I got that. Your mic is on. So once he gets set, we're introduced. Finishing up with this child's pose. And he just became, we'll talk about that. I think I got certified as a yoga, 200-hour yoga teacher. But knees really wide. Spread everything out. This is the best way to open up that sacrum, those five fused vertebrae at the base of your spine, right? So relax into this. But again, you're elongating. Your arms are outstretched. You can also have your arms by your side. I like to rest on my forehead. It might take you a little bit of time to be able to rest on there comfortably. Kind of pushes up against the ridge of your nose. Now we got, okay, he's getting into it now. Thomas Artivani's over there. He's getting into child's pose. But child's pose and just soften into this pose. Hey, when I have a headache, I come into this pose. Frustrated, fidgeting around, come into this pose. Find your zen with this pose. On that note, I am going to say hello. Mr. Artivani, why don't you get your butt up here and say hello to the good folks on LA Talk Radio.
Thank you so much for that little stretch. It's so lovely.
It's so you know it well, right?
You can never go wrong with child's pose.
Never go wrong with child's pose. And before we get started here, sir, I'm going to just say a little two words about this man. Okay, charismatic, no doubt. Spiritual soul, no doubt. This guy has a talent for teaching, and he developed the Artivani approach. Check it out. Through his 30 years as a practicing actor, writer, director. And now we go back, a couple years now we met. We first met, you did a series, I think it was Actors on Acting. Was it Josh Holloway that I met from Lost?
Well, you would have remembered that if it was Josh.
It was definitely Josh. Josh has the long hair, right?
Yeah, that's
like we that's, all have the long
you
hair.
You certainly remember Josh over remembering me, of course.
Well, no, so we met a couple years ago. I did say through a mutual friend, Stephanie Drapeau, I think who worked, I never worked with Tom personally, but you, Stephanie worked with you, right? With your approach, and I want to learn all about this.
Well, I'm still working with Stephanie. We Skype. Awesome. I Skype to Austin, Texas, and we do our lessons over Skype, which I've proven to be very, very effective.
And oh, that is effective.
People have been doing it for quite some time, but just recently I kind of gave in because there were clients, basically clients all over the world that I've lost contact with. I still wanted to do the work, and I was like, this can't possibly be effective. And I was so wrong. You can actually have these wonderful sessions with these artists and convey all the subtleties that you need to convey, and it's really working out well.
That's awesome.
It's a new wrinkle to the online teaching world, but I'm certainly pushing that aspect because it's nice to be able to sit and knock out several clients in a row that are all over the place. So very, very effective, very fun.
Yeah, no doubt. As an artist, I mean, when you find a coach that really works for you, I mean, hey, you could be, it doesn't really matter. You're connecting and observing, right? And you're still making that eye contact when you're communicating points. Like a director, but why not? Skype sounds like it works awesome.
Well, the technique that I teach allows that to actually function. It's not a 19th century theatrical technique. It's a 21st century approach to a brand new angle that Hollywood absolutely requires from its clients, and so this is the first 21st century acting technique that exists in the 21st
Love
century.
Love it. 21st century. That's what this is all about. The East Coast talk. We got techniques. Talk a little more about that because, you know, as an actor, I mean, if you come to this town, you can't just show up. Everybody's an actor. You know that term, right? You can't just say, oh, I'm an actor. No, you got to work your craft.
Well, there's very few real actors. The bottom line is that there's very few people that understand the subtleties of taking action. There's very few people that understand how to create and shape space. There's very few people that understand when they step into these performance capture environments or these heavy CG environments, how to create reactive environments and how to make that work for them. So as the technology expands, the acting technique obviously would have to expand and to the point that there has to be classes or instructions on how to survive in these environments unless you're one of these people that has the fortunate opportunity to be working on these sets and sort of defining the new era of acting as the technology unfolds. So it's very experimental a lot of the times between the director and the actor in terms of how to create an effective experience for the audience.
And what he's talking about, folks, is to add color to that CG computer graphics, because nowadays it's they use these things called green screens, right, where the actor's sometimes putting on devices in a lot of these movies, right, where they're moving around, but you still have to act. And he's saying this new experience, it's even more critical, right, to be present and to be a great actor to make it work.
Well, the subtleties, I mean, what defines a great actor? You know,
that's true.
And you know what defines a great actor? Basically, when we're sitting in that theater and we have direct access to that actor's emotions and thoughts, and they allow us to experience that illusion that's been created for us. And the people that do that the best, we would say that those are the best actors. And also, the ones that actually tap into that universal thread are loved by billions. So it's not really a question as to whether they're doing their job. But they
make it believable. I mean, that to me, that's a key word.
Well, when you remove that buffer between yourself and that audience, whether you're a musician or a dancer or an actor or any other, a politician for that matter, you become a great communicator. And it allows you to function on a high level in relation to that audience because everybody gets what you're saying at the same time. And we call that the X factor, an intangible that you're not supposed to be able to teach. But at my studio, that's not an intangible. It's an absolute necessary base for us to begin to understand the craft of acting and taking action. You know, acting is a metaphor for taking action. And, you know, the small screen is a great place to hone skills for the big stage, our lives, you know. And we can carry those concepts right from learning to be an artist, right into the world and becoming an extraordinary human being as well, if you have the courage, of course. There's a lot more on the line when you take that responsibility on, because if you're going to go out into the world and create change and transition, you pretty much put your life on the line. When you're acting, you're just creating a nice little fantasy.
You're letting people in too, which is scary.
Yeah, well, in the acting aspect, we're protected. Because not only can we conceal ourselves within our true choices, we can have a lot of fun doing it, and we always get another take. Somehow life does not always give us another
some
take.
Some actors get more takes than others. If you're the lead, if you're not the lead, no, you're not asking for another take. Too much money.
Well, what I love about this whole pursuit, and I've never been bored for a second, but it's really come down to like action and cut. You know, and that analogy right there, connected to life, has been such an eye opener. Like, between action and cut, we live. We create the change and transition. You know, life has given us an action and a cut. The moment that we're in right now, to the time that that the lights go out, and it's fulfilling the potential of that moment in time between action and cut that makes it great entertainment. And it's fulfilling that moment between this moment and the end of our life that sort of determines whether we've had a great life or not, whether we've realized our potential in this moment, you know? And it's amazing how many correlations there are between the two. I haven't found a dissimilarity. If I'm able to make clear choices and move to the present and create and shape my space when I act, why can't I do the same thing in my life? Why can't I make strong choices and decide what's in my life and create and shape the life that I have and make it into what it is that I want to by taking action. And that's just profound. I'm never bored. I'm never bored watching talent make these wonderful little breakthroughs, whether they're green and have no idea what an actor is or whether they're, you know, an A-list celebrity that's just looking for some insight into maybe how
you
to
work
go
with
about
all ages, right? I mean, what are your youngest or the well, maybe
an 8-year old, actually. But you know what's beautiful about an 8-year old?
They're natural.
Well, I wish I could brag more about being an acting teacher, but all we're really doing is pointing out what you already have going on. And with the use of the camera, we can sort of discern the subtleties that go into what makes this communication thing happen. All I really do is point out what's actually happening, like what we're doing, what right. allows this conversation to go down. And once you understand the subtleties and the elements that go into this conversation, you can go about recreating it. And that's where the craft of acting comes in. It's not just having a moment. It's being able to understand the dynamics that went into creating it and then recreating it again and recreating the experience that an audience can have or that the production needs you to have. You know, they may need you to go through that sequence 100 times, and the quality of that will be determined based on your ability to re-experience it. And there's a lot that goes into that. People think, you know, you just imitate what you did before. No, imitation does not translate to your audience. So the profound understanding that artists have when they go to work would blow your mind. But what's beautiful is it can be learned, and it can be crafted. And this particular process that I teach really zeroes in on that.
Yeah, many teachers out there, for folks, you know, they have their processes, right? Your techniques, your styles. Then you're very successful. You also do many things here. Let me ask you, because you got the writing, the directing, you're acting yourself, you're teaching. I mean, you got a full plate. Is there any one you enjoy more than the other, or they're all interconnected, of course?
Well, it's really the state of mind moving into the process that makes it enjoyable. So within all the processes, I need to begin at the same place. The skill set's different, but you know, over the years, I've developed the skill set. And then it's just about just being immersed and loving the discoveries and the realizations that come along with each process. There's different responsibilities, of course, different perspectives. And I can't say that there's a favorite. As long as I'm creating, or as long as I'm perceiving the world in a way that allows me to learn from it continually, I'm very happy within any process that I find myself in.
Mm. And you're based in Venice Beach, right? Santa Monica.
Well, my base, I've been in town for 22 years. I've been teaching 18 of those years.
Okay.
And I've had studios all over town at one point or another for 5 or 6 years. And then I move on. The last one was at the brewery down in Lincoln Heights.
Really?
Okay. But I just got a gig in Florida where I'm going to do a little teaching tour of Florida and bring these ideas to Florida, because it's a very fresh outlook, and they seem to need a little bit of a wonderful outlook that incorporates the technique is wonderful. It incorporates script, the camera, and this action application, we call it. So it's the integration of these three things, which is what makes it the acting technique for the 21st century, because there's not a technique that has incorporated the production or the camera into it organically. So over the last 20 years or so of also exploring my own process and trying to become an effective artist myself, this technique has emerged. And it just happens to be very fresh and very exciting, and how we go about teaching it, the priorities are shifted quite a bit, but the effectiveness can be astounding. And these are things that I've been doing. You know, you're educating artists or actors, and you think, oh, an actor is such a frivolous being, and they don't have any priorities, and they're here just to be famous, and that may be true in a lot of respects, but it really doesn't matter what gets you here. It's a matter of what it takes to become this catalyst of communication. And so it doesn't matter if you come here to be famous. If you find your way into MySpace, or if you find your way into, there's a number of wonderful teachers here. If you're fortunate enough to find one of these teachers, they're going to take you on the journey of your life. They're going to give you a fresh pair of eyes to see through. They're going to like open up your world. Like they're going to blow your mind, you know. And once you realize the power that you have as an actor, game on. Game on,
because
you realize how much influence you can have. You realize,
and if that's your journey, if that's
oh my God,
if
right?
that's
how
your
much
journey,
fun is
if
that?
That's your calling, I believe that coming here. But no doubt, if you come here, as you said, yeah, there's not many real actors. You got to keep honing that craft, no matter what, right? I believe you should be. Well, if that's what you're doing, it's like Tiger Woods. He's you know, he's not out there by himself, right? He's got people there, and that's what coaches are. Teachers especially, it's not only insight, but it's getting what's inside of you and bringing it out to its fullest.
Well, once you get into the basic principles of what makes this happen, it correlates, it crosses over into, you know, what makes a great musician. Same elements.
Oh, yeah.
Same elements. But some musicians struggle in the recording room studio, some struggle in front of an audience. And what the technique allows, even for a musician, is it allows them to understand where to receive from. It teaches them their tools of perception so that they can go about creating the phenomena that they want to create. Same with a dancer. If you look at a painter even, the same elements that we're applying in this acting technique that develop a great painter, except the painter has his brushes and his paints, you know, whereas the actor has his body. He is the paint.
Right, he brings everything, his experiences,
he is the
color. Being.
And the canvas that painter is working on, right, is the space that the actor works in. The actor goes about creating and shaping space, and creating that experience for the audience, whereas the painter goes about creating and shaping that canvas, and that's where his experience lands. And so if it's a wonderful painting, we get to experience it. And if it's a wonderful film, we get to experience it. And it's that direct connection to either some deep, profound consciousness that awakens in us when we watch a great actor work, or we look at a great painting, we watch a great dancer work, or listen to a great musician. It's a profound experience, and that ties us all together. I just love the universal aspect when an artist, actor, or an artist, painter, or an artist, artist does their work, because it unifies us in that moment. And those are the things that help balance us and help us maintain our well-being. You know, the arts need to be totally respected for the power of unifying us. And it's a shame sometimes when educational systems don't understand how necessary it is to have that element within the context of their educational systems. When the budgets get down, they cut the arts. When the budgets get down, they cut music programs and stuff like that.
Well, they're less tangible in so many ways, but the arts are supported by the art. I mean, look at
Leonardo. See, you just said less tangible. That's a bad word, my brother.
No, it is. I believe it is.
Very tangible.
No, I meant less tangible in the sense that artists, they create an artist. What is an artist?
Somebody right? that brings us all together.
Well,
and
if they
us.
Say they create an accountant, it's more tangible from a perspective of, yeah, let's put the square peg into the square hole, right? An artist, no, you're an artist. You talk like an artist. I mean, we feel it. I feel your energy, right? No doubt. Artists totally understand other artists. But I do believe some corporate structure, oftentimes structures, even educational systems, they're not artists coming through.
Well, listen, if you're going to be a great corporate leader, need to understand these principles too. Bottom line,
always.
If you're gonna motivate your employees to do their best, and if you're gonna look out after their well-being, you're gonna have a much stronger workforce that costs you a hell of a lot less to maintain. So your profit margin is gonna be a lot higher if you have actually the creative mindset within the context of rational mindset, and that's really what it is. You know, we can split hairs and stuff like that, but.
No, I agree with that. You want to cultivate the creative mindset. You want to bring that, because that's where genius is formed, right? You just don't want people paper pushers, right? Just pushing the paper and clocking in and going home. You want people to add value through their creativity.
Well, if you have a fear-based corporate, or if you have a fear-based theater, or if you have a fear-based production, immediately you've tied the hands of that production. Immediately you've bound them, and you've limited the potential that they could have.
Explain fear-based.
Well, fear-based just has to do with what if I don't get my money back? You know, there's the mentality, the state of
the
mind,
producers.
The state of mind that goes into the worry factor relative to what the potential of the production could actually render with somebody who's opening the doors. Because the entire process of film is a collaboration. There's a lot of space between the lines in a script. And it's up to the artist to interpret how this thing, in the end, is experienced. So many times you'll see, you know, like, what did Disney spend on that one film? $400 million?
The advertising budget alone is insane.
$500 million, which is basically half the budget it would take to feed the world.
Yeah,
all the hungry people in the world.
These are big budget films, but these are the films that people go to see.
Well, they didn't go to see this one enough because it bombed. So what I'm trying to say is that there's a fear-based contingency that did not allow that production to flourish within the vision of an artist. And had they had the courage to trust an artist with a vision, they would have not only gotten their money back, plus they would be, you know, not licking their wounds from losing $500 million.
Right, but unfortunately the artist only has so much control, right? I mean, as an artist, we have our instrument, but the external factors are difficult to control, right? In this business, as you know, how many films are made each year? I heard 7,500 films are made each year to the tune of $2.5 billion. How many films do we see in a year? 50?
And how many films do we actually enjoy? And how many how many films actually hit us in the heartstrings? How many films universally take us on a ride? And typically, when you find these little films, they wind up in Oscar. Oscar does a good job in finding these little gems. And typically, they weren't over budgeted, and sometimes they're undermanned, and sometimes they're even kicked to the curb for.
But it's passion that gets them to the finish line and makes an amazing product.
That hits all of us in the hearts.
It hits all of us. You got like a $12 million. This movie we critiqued yesterday, The Identical, was made for $12 million. I mean, by today's standards, that's Ray Liotta was executive producer, so maybe he's got some sort of equity in it. But that's a small number, wouldn't you say? $12 million.
I would say so.
Tiny.
I was in a film. I'm in a film that's coming out in January, February called Savaged. Right.
Yeah, I did see that.
Teeny little film, but my God, that film entertains. It was directed by Michael Ojeda and produced by him, basically. But there's a number of producers involved there, but the man carried the weight of this production, and he's a brilliant filmmaker. And out of this particular film, the guy's landed three more films.
Well, that oftentimes happens, no doubt. When you put out quality work, you get, hopefully they find you. Right, you're doing the well. That's what everyone's here to do. Wouldn't you rather be someone who has a big budget than someone who has a small budget, tiny budget?
I don't know. I can't answer that question. Sometimes there's a lot of love and there's a lot of this collaboration I'm talking about when there's not too much money involved.
Yeah, that's true.
And there's a lot of like, you don't get a second chance. You got to set it up. You got to think it through. It's almost like even though we're in a digital format, you only have so many hours in a day. And once again, just like any location that you have, you're looking to realize the potential of that piece of script within the time that you have to capture it. So this process is so exciting for that reason. There's always a time limitation, and people are doing everything they can to realize the potential of that moment. When you enter, you add in this fear factor, you add in control factors or insecure factors, or people get stuck in ideas of right and wrong, and they don't allow people to explore these spaces. That's where they really handicap themselves. But Michael Ojeda is a wonderful director. He likes to explore the spaces and take risks and trust his artists. And for that reason, the guy got a tremendous result from his cast, and everybody loves the heck out of that guy.
You're in post-production on that, then, right?
No, that's way post. It's distributed now. I can't remember the name of the distribution, but it's January, February. It's been distributed all over the world at this point. When they release it, I don't know. January, February was what I was told. But the point is that it's a sacred process at its best, the arts. And the elements that go into teaching it can be a bit intangible. But what's wonderful about the technique that I teach, it's made these intangibles very tangible, practicable, conveyable. And what I'm most proud about is that, yes, I serve the artistic talent of the city of L.A., and I've done it for a long time, and I very much appreciate it. But what I'm really loving now is taking the base creative principles and sharing it with civilian population, which allows them to get the most out of their lives, allows them to the tools of perception to get through a day and manage stress and manage depression in another way. Just like an artist, you know, when we land in the objective reality of the space that we're in, we're free. And when we're able to create. So if you're stressed in your life and you're walking around, you're wondering what to do, maybe you don't have a job or something like that, your ability to ground yourself in the objective reality of where you actually are allows you the freedom to make better choices, just like the actor has to make a better choice. So for the last 4 years, I've been actively sharing, you know, having classes like Acting for Introverts, we're serving the post-traumatic stress syndrome group, our vets. We lose 20 to 60 vets a day to suicide. These are 20 to 30 year olds, beautiful people that don't have the tools to manage their moment-to-moment lives because they're stuck in an illusion. They're stuck in a very traumatic thing. And so what the tools of the actor has, we're very sensory. We're sensory because our senses bring us back into the moment. And from here, we're able to regain our footing and make choices. So the technique that we practice as artists actually is beautifully geared towards dealing with stress and depression.
You got to check it out, folks. Check out Thomas Artavani. We're going to wrap this up in a couple minutes here. Thomas, what's the website where they can learn more information, learn about you, work with you on Skype? It's a great opportunity.
Well, you can find me on any of the social medias, which I find. You can find me on LinkedIn, Thomas Artavani. You can find me on Facebook, Thomas Artavani. You can
check
Twitter,
him out.
Twitter me.
Google
at,
you.
At Artavani, ArdavanY, or at the AA Acting Studio. So those are my tweets. You can find me, leave me a message, reach out, call.
He's a
talk.
Cool guy. Check it out. Yeah, he'll give you some time to figure. I think you will. But Tom, here's what we do. At the end of every show, I do a fast five. I want to get to this quick as you're wrapping up here. That was awesome. No, you really want to dig deep into that, research it. They're definitely a talented man here who could help you get through whatever it is. And if you're an actor out there sitting on your butt, get off your butt. You can't be sitting in your room spewing lines into the mirror. All right, here we go. So I'm going to ask you five quick questions. You're just going to say one or the other. Whatever comes to you first, we'll learn a little about your personality. Here we go, Thomas. Number one, chocolate or vanilla ice cream?
Oh, my God. Vanilla ice cream with a little chocolate on top.
Oh, you get one choice. You can only have one.
You can't combine them?
No, that's what changed the game.
Oh, God, vanilla ice
really?
Cream.
Really? Oh, you're vanilla. Yeah. I'd say chocolate. How about this one? I think I know this one just on your hair. Tropical Island or New York City? He has hair way longer than me.
I love bringing the long hair to New York City because it creates such a freaking rush.
True.
So, you know what I mean? It's a unique
experience.
Go
to Times Square. New York is awesome. So you like New York over the tropical island, huh?
I love New York. I lived there for 10 years. But my base education is from New York City.
Tremendous. Oh, that's awesome. I didn't know that. Here we go. Number three, ancient Rome or the Wild West?
You know what? The character in the movie that I'm playing, his name is West. I played. The Roman culture. I can't get enough of it. So I would have to go Rome. Oh my God!
You look like you just walked out of a saloon here.
That's what I'm saying. But Rome. I mean, could you imagine being in that era? I'd do Rome. Oh my God!
You got to do it. Here we go. Number four. This is interesting. Tearjerker or action thriller?
Action thriller.
Ooh,
yeah. I mean, for my entertainment, I have enough. Life is heavy enough.
Yeah.
I love going to the movies with that action thriller and just getting taken away.
Yeah, there's a lot out there now. It's gone to a whole new level, no doubt, with the CGI. Here we go. Number five, last one. Candlelight dinner or picnic in the park?
I love my candlelight dinners.
Gotta have it, right? I would go with that one. The park, even though I had the guitar guys in here like the picnic in the park, but
with the right lady, with the right music, you know, if somebody loves you, there's nothing like sitting down and serving somebody that loves you.
Well, there you go, guys. Really good show today. Thank you, Thomas Artavani. Go check him out.
Thank you very much for providing a wonderful outlet.
Yeah, it's a cool outlet. So, hey, we had a good show today. You guys know, you want to find out more about me, check it out. It's richtola.com, right? I'm Rich Tola. And remember, dreams do come true. But, hey, what do I know?
You're listening to Tola Talks with Rich Tola, right here on LA Talk Radio.